The Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to The Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net. And joining me shortly, Davis Peng, also of FantasySixPack.net. Dennis is off this week. Well, we are going to get into week 13 and all the news since the Sunday action. And, here we go with the worst time for injuries for this week. And, taking a bit of a tumble on some big names. Of course, the biggest one being Dalvin Cook, and we'll get into that in a second before I reintroduce a co-host that's been filling in for Dennis. Dennis is stuck at the airport. Wasn't able to get for the podcast. But Davis, how are you doing, man?
I'm good today, man. I'm stoked to hop on the show once again. You know, anytime Dennis steps out, I'm popping in.
Yeah, no, that's great. Always love to have you. You always have interesting takes on stuff. but our first take has to be, of course, you know, I just mentioned Dalvin Cook. The MRI showed that he suffered a torn labrum, a separated shoulder. It's not considered season-ending, but we don't really have a time frame. But I read somewhere that Cook could return as soon as week 15, which would be the Vikings and the Bears. I think that might be a little optimistic, considering now that he's got two torn labrums in each shoulder. So don't know when he'll be back, but we do know that he won't be back probably for this week.
I think he's done for the season, honestly. Since the Vikings dropped the game, their playoff hopes are very slim, really slim right now. Mm. They'd be better off to rest him. Like, what are you going to play him with? If by week 15, and let's say they drop another loss, like, what happened?
I haven't got a real handle on his, on the rest of the season here. Who are the Rams got? The Vikings got coming up. They have Detroit, which is of course the next one. Then Pittsburgh, Chicago, Rams, Green Bay, and Green Bay is week 17, which is your fantasy. So at Green Bay, but kind of tough for. But they got Chicago also for. I mean, if they're looking at playoffs, and I know what you mean about. That's one thing you like about your team is your fantasy players. You like them on competitive teams that are still in the playoff chase.
They're 5-6. I mean, even if they pull out wins, do we expect the Packers to drop a bunch of games?
No, but I mean, for wild card considerations.
Yeah. So, you know, they're 5-6. Bears have Dalton back. There's a chance, you know, I think they will beat those two teams, but the Steelers, you know, could beat them for all we know. And then they still got to go through the Packers again, which, you know, they did it once and they got the Rams. It's not an easy schedule. So I think by the time they figure out if he's coming back or not, it might be too late.
The Vikings are actually the 7th seed still. So they're 5-6 and they're actually, technically the 7th seed. So they're right in there. In the mix, but there's the Falcons and Saints are also at 5-6, but they're not that great. Falcons in the chase. It's hard to believe. Eagles and Panthers still in the chase. They're 5-7 each, you know, because they're one game ahead.
I'm a little surprised to see the Vikings are only 5-6. I felt like they were playing better. I mean, they had that rough beginning, but other than that, they've been pretty steady.
It's a bad thing. Obviously, we're looking at now in our waiver rankings. I don't know why this is the Fantasy Pros waiver rankings for week 13. They didn't include Alexander Mattison, and that might be the fact that Alexander Mattison is already owned 51% in Yahoo. So that's probably maybe why they hadn't put Mattison in there. But I think it's a no-brainer that, you know, you spend the rest of whatever fab you got left on trying to get him if he's out there. So, hey, kind of obvious. Let's see who we got. I'm going to save this other news since he's in, since he's somebody that we're going to discuss a little bit later on, but I'll move on to Christian McCaffrey, ankle injury, x-ray negative, questionable for 13. It didn't look too serious. The only problem with Christian McCaffrey is he got vultured again by you know who. And, this is one of the reasons, you know, Christian McCaffrey was he 1.01 in the draft? And, I would say it's not just the injuries, but, he's not lived up to, the top rank.
I, I think he has and he hasn't. The games he's in, he's always double-digit relevant. I know people are a little spoiled these days with like 20-pointers, but I know even in half PPR to PPR, like getting 13 to 15 because he was very solid. That was a game-winning, that's a season-winning player. I think Yeah. Seems he has lived up to that portion of it. Like if he's on the field, he gets you 15, 20 points. That kind of ridiculousness. But in the sense of him taking injuries, that is something that him and Dalvin Cook, we came into this, and Alvin Kamara even, those three came into the season. That was always a fine print on these guys. These guys have been injured before. They get injured.
Yeah.
CMC's first real injury was last season, but you know, that kind of workload kind of just brings on the injuries anyway. Like there's not many players in history that can take on the kind of workload that CMC took in 2019 and do it every year, right? Derrick Henry's the only other one, Adrian Peterson, in these recent years, and they both broke down.
Yeah.
So somebody
just put Mike LaPlante, who's one of our one of the gang in F6P, put up a meme from Field Yates that the top four players that you just mentioned. Well, you didn't mention Henry, but he's in there as well.
Was it Derrick Henry? Yeah. Oh yeah, but not for injury proneness. But he has a crazy workload.
Yeah, he has a crazy workload. Yeah, he's not injury prone, but he's on IR. But you know, but it's always the problem in fantasy is healthy running backs this time of season.
You heard that theory is that you never draft the consensus 101 in any position. They never pan out.
The only guy I guess is Travis Kelce. If you're talking, yeah,
and even then he's only been the 101 the last two or three years. Before that, it used to be Gronk, and you know how that story goes.
Yeah, well, yeah, Gronk. Yeah, that's true. Moving right along here. Finish up the news of injuries. Deebo Samuel reports Deebo Samuel is expected to miss a little time. I love Deebo Samuel. I think Deebo Samuel is a great player. I'd love him to be on my fantasy team. He's not.
I'd love him to be on my real life team. He is amazing. I'm actually a major fan of him.
I am too. Myself, yeah.
His rookie in his second year. That man is only like 6'0" on height, but he plays like he's 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds. He will run a man over. It is gross for his size.
Why can't Laviska Shenault be like that? He is that same kind of guy. Laviska Shenault should be like Deebo, and he's so misused in that offense on the Jaguars. I like Laviska Shenault. He's just like Deebo Samuel, but he's not being properly used that way. They've got a good player on their team, and I don't know. I don't know what you think of Laviska Shenault, but I think he should be like that.
I think Laviska has the possibility. I think one thing we've learned in fantasy, and if you ever need a reminder, this year is a very good version of that, of we do not know what the true capability of any player is until they're in the right spot, right? Cordero Patterson is a good version of that right now. Mm. You know, I mentioned that Rashard Matthews is a guy like that before. I mean, Robert Woods, when he was on the Bills, was completely waved off by the fantasy world.
Very true.
You don't know what they do until they get to the right system.
That's right.
So, I mean, physically talented, sure. Hands, you know, so at times, boneheaded mistakes right now. Yeah, of course. But who knows? Like, who knows what happens 2 years from or 3 years from? I mean, for a while, people thought Alan Hearns was the next big thing. And I remember laughing because I was like, Alan Hearns.
Oh, yeah. Alan Hearns. Yeah, yeah.
So who really knows? Kenny Galladay's fallen off the past few years. And look at Sterling Shepard stepping up. So I would like to, I'm not going to say he can't. Do I like him right now? No, because I just don't like Jacksonville Jaguars. But, you know, if he ends up on a Patriots team in the future, why not? He ends up on Kyle Shanahan's team in the future. Maybe, why not? You know, that kind of situations can always happen. But on Urban Meyer's team, I don't like him.
Mm. Finally, more to the news off the injury front is Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski described his team's performance on Sunday night as very, very disappointing, and described himself as frustrated with his offense, but he insisted that Baker Mayfield will remain the starting quarterback. And Baker is playing through injuries. He's doing the Ben Roethlisberger dance here, and it's sort of affecting the team. I don't know all the ailments that Baker's going through right now, but I think there's, it's definitely, well, I don't know, Jarvis Landry had a good game last game, but yeah, I don't know.
Why? I love Jarvis. That's a guy I love more than most people ever love a receiver.
Yeah, I kind of liked him. He was on a couple of seasons. Yeah, he was. And a couple of seasons ago, he was on What's that show where they go do the training camp thing?
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he was hilarious in Hard Knocks. He's a very funny guy too.
He's a team leader. He's a very motivated team leader.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's never meant to be a 1A, but he's such a solid like 2, you know. I think if he ends up on a real team in the future, as long as he's under his 30s, I think he could always come back to fantasy relevance. And also, he's technically fantasy relevant now, but is he at the same time? Like, is he, you know what I mean?
I don't know. But let's focus on Baker.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Baker?
I wrote an article about him in a preseason, and I have a big hit. He's coming as QB20 on the season. I do. I actually think he's, and I will say, I was never that guy when he had his rookie. Okay. I was on that bandwagon too after his rookie year. I was like, this guy's good. He has potential. He's getting Odell Beckham. He's getting Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, all these things, right? All this hype.
Yeah.
But that was his rookie year. What has he done since? I mean, he realistically should be a QB3 in every format. He has 3 or 4 big games, and then he has QB3 numbers all season, or even worse.
Yeah.
He has worse than backups, you know, like there's Taylor Heineke came in and is killing him. Cam Newton came in and killed him. So
yeah.
I don't know. I rank him as low as I can get.
I like his commercials.
I hate his commercials. I think that's part of why he sucks. You know, like he's so marketable, but that's not a good thing.
No, it's not. It's not. No, I know. He is a marketable, yeah, you're right about that. But he does better commercials than, you know, Mahomes does. Like Mahomes is sort of sharing with Rodgers and the, what is it? You know, you can't even remember the ads are so good. You can't even remember who does them because you're, anyways. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, you're right about him. He's a bit overhyped when he came into it. He plays hard. He plays hard. I will say that for him.
I mean, does he play hard or does he just look like he has energy, right? Like, I feel like the same way I look at him is the same way I looked at Johnny Manziel. When they're on the field, you can feel their competitiveness. You can feel these guys are competitive when they're in the game. But outside of the game, I don't know what they do. Who knows? I don't think Baker's like a party animal, but every time I see something off the field, it's him dancing or talking presses or commercials. You never hear about like how his teammates, you know, like he's doing the extra hours, that kind of training.
Mm.
And it doesn't show. I mean, if he is, it's not showing. But I feel like on the field, they have energy. So it looks like they're just competitive athletes, but he's the first overall, man. He can't even make basic throws or basic reads.
No, he hasn't been great. But I don't know, using his injuries as an excuse, but that won't last. Okay, time for... Well, we're moving on up, to the top. Yes, it's time to see who's moving on up for the stock. And I think for me, it's Elijah Mitchell. And I'm actually kind of happy because the Elijah Mitchell, it used to kind of be on San Francisco, you really couldn't tell who there wasn't really a bell cow. And I think they finally got like a lead back in the backfield who is the guy, and you know he's the guy, and you know who's second in the pecking order there. It's a committee, but it's a normal committee now. Didn't used to be. And Elijah Mitchell, a great weekend against the Vikings, and yeah, so he just to say what he got in the to recap what he had, what did he get? I'm going to put in the half PPR, not the standard. He said 133 yards, his fourth, 100-yard game, plus 35 yards receiving, touchdown, 27 carries. Gotta like it. Definitely, and that's the, he missed the game against Jacksonville, but he had 27 carries before that against the Rams, and yeah, you gotta like that. And he ends up currently fourth, pending the outcome of today's game, fourth RB for the week. Yeah, good stuff coming from Elijah Mitchell. Thoughts on him?
You might have been cutting out a little bit, but I'm pretty sure we have the same opinion on him. Like that, the fact that we like him. We both like him. He's a rising up player. He made my buy high targets last week, even though he didn't play against Jackson. And it was because of how ineffective Jeff Wilson Jr. was and Trey Sermon was, and that they relied on Deebo Samuel to run the ball 8 times. And sure, Deebo Samuel ran the ball 5 times this time for the efficient level that he did, but Elijah Mitchell still had like 98 yards and touchdown. And he was averaging like 5 yards a carry, I believe, at one point. Maybe not towards the end of the game, but at one point he was averaging like 5 yards a carry. Yeah, it's a perfect player moving on up. And trade deadlines, I know it's either this week, in some leagues it's last week. If you have the opportunity to grab the guy, go grab him. People are undervaluing this man. I undervalued him as a pickup in fantasy waiver wires. I regret it. You know, he's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely, I had him as a moving on, well, in my rest of season article, I already featured him once, earlier in the season. And someone laughed at it, but, you know, I featured, there's lots of players who, you know, move on up every week, so I got to feature somebody, so anyways.
So, did that guy come back and apologize?
No, they never do.
I kid, but it's savage. And that's fine, it's okay.
Yeah.
We don't take it personally. It is out of left field, right? At times.
No, never take it seriously. What do you got for moving on up?
I am going to feel gross saying this, but it's Russell. I feel utterly gross, but it's Russell.
That is kind of a dirty pick.
There is no Ridley, okay? Gage, in the last 4 games he's played, has gotten 8, 3, 8, 7. Those are respectable target numbers, even from a poor Matt Ryan. He has one goose egg, you know, from his last 4 games. But if you look at his actual last 5, it's 15 points, 10 points, 0, 8, 15. It's not the worst. Cordarrelle Patterson makes people go after him. This is half PPR trade. I'm not even going off full PPR. If you're full, you know, he gets 6 for 62, you're gaining 12 points. And this is for a guy you can pick off the waiver list. He's at 17% rostered. So, Cordarrelle Patterson's back. He makes people go after him. Kyle Pitts is a threat, you know, physically, maybe not actually fantasy. So Russell Gage is just gonna get these little cheapies, like, against bad defenses, at least secondaries. Why not? He's going against Tampa. He got 5 catches. Sure, they were for no yardage, but 5 catches can mean almost anything, right? Like, if you had a player that on a regular basis got 5 to 6 catches a week, you're starting him, even at least in your flex, or at least he's in your depth chart. Because Calvin Ridley right now, as much as I thought he would come back by this point, or, you know, next week or whatever, he hasn't.
So absolutely no news on him.
Zero. And this does not mean he's done with football. Sucks because it's a contract year, but he can always get extended. But the point is Russell Gage is here. He's not owned in 82% of leagues in Yahoo. If you're hurting, you lost Deebo Samuel, you lost all these other guys, and you need a depth stash going into the end of the season. And as we already said, the Falcons are technically in a playoff hunt. They get Tampa, Carolina, San Francisco, Detroit, which are all solid games to have shootouts at, possibly, besides maybe Carolina, and then Buffalo. That's the only downside. You get Buffalo week 17. But if you got to week 17, then you just figure something else out.
That's right. I'm just looking at his stats here, and you're absolutely right. The target share is going up, but for the Dallas game, I mean, yeah, it's over 5 targets, which is kind of like for me, over 5 targets, 6 and above is sort of like, okay, you're in the, you know, you're noticed.
You're rosterable.
Yeah. You're rosterable. You're not a flyer if you're getting more than 5 targets a game.
I mean, that's it. 6, 8, 3, 8, 7. What else can you ask for? From a guy that's not, like, at this point where we're at the end of the season, come grab this guy. He's moving on up, you know, minus a touchdown even, give him 12 points with half. I mean, full PPR. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm good too. I think we got our next,
Danger!
Yes. That's the only clip I've got. I mean, for the panic button. For me, panic button is, any Giants receiver. you just don't know who's going to be injured. Kadarius Toney's down again. I don't know what it is about the Giants. They just cannot keep anyone healthy. And, and any given week, and you already mentioned Kenny Galladay, a bit when we were talking about somebody else there. I don't know what it is about the Giants this year. A little bit to do with the quarterbacking, I will say. I mean, Daniel Jones, I have to say, I think is kind of like, I think on the bubble, I think the Giants are going to be shopping again for a quarterback.
It would be the most Giants move ever.
If they don't shop for another quarterback, yeah, it would be.
Yeah, it would be the most Giants move spot they get ever done.
But it'd be stupid to stick with Jones. Jones is backup material. We can see that now. We can see he's a backup quarterback. And I mean, I don't even think he'd be a good backup quarterback either.
I don't think they say that the point of backup QBs is to keep a game managed. Daniel Jones cannot manage it.
No.
He has no capability of managing a game. They'd be better off with like Dwight Haskins, who's kind of shown in preseason that he can manage a game. Marcus Mariota, you know, bring back Alex Smith at this point. Like Daniel Jones is not the guy. And I really rooted for him, although I
just Oh, I did too. I did too. But he continues to make the same mistakes he made as a rookie, you know, and
I think he's even worse than his rookie year, honestly. At this point,
yeah. Well, he carries the ball loose, gets a lot of fumbles, turns the ball over a lot. Yeah, it's not looking great. I mean, he's terrible. So, but I don't know about you how you feel about the Giants receivers right now, but I really have no trust. And the sad part is about it is that I think they've got a lot of talented receivers there.
Yes, that actually is the sad part. One of my talking points will be later about one of them. It'll be more about Sterling Shepard. I still think he's in for now. We'll go over it during waiver wire discussions. But yeah, I think Tony, Golladay, Shepard, Slayton, all those guys at any moment with the right quarterback could be fantasy relevant. Let's be realistic. They all could be.
Yeah. I mean, even Ross, you know, we were talking about guys being in the right system. Yeah. Before we started the podcast, when we were sort of warming up before the podcast, we were talking about guys like LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah, exactly. John Ross could be a guy that, if he was in the right system, he'd be legitimate. I think John Ross has one of the funniest stats. I don't want to get over it, but basically he's caught like 33% of his catches are like touchdowns at one point. It was just really, really stupid. It was a really ridiculous stat that if you actually look at his career, you could see the stat at one point be that. I'm not going to go over it too.
But yeah, okay. So anyways, Giants receivers for me are just, if you own them, they're pretty much, I don't know, droppable. really. Who are you concerned about?
You know, I'm a little bit worried about Myles Gaskin right now. I know he had the most of the workload. He did well, got points, got a touchdown, all that greatness. But I'm worried that Lindsey came in too good first. And I'm not going to say it was an amazing run, but if you look at Myles Gaskin's stat against the Panthers, or even the last, I would say, five games, he averages less than 4 yards a carry. Actually, if anything, he averages 3, 1.7, 2.2, 3.9, and 3.1.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of attempts. He had 16 rushing attempts, 23 rushing attempts, like 14 rushing attempts, and they're all under 50 yards besides one game. So Myles Gaskin makes this weird portion for me because, yeah, he had 2 touchdowns.
It's the touchdowns where he's getting, he's got 7 on the season.
And, you know, is that not even including his receiving? I don't think it even includes receiving time. So he has 2, 3, help me right. It's 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, it's 7. Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 7. 2 of his rushing touchdowns out of his 3 came in against Carolina, where they completely gave the Dolphins the ball. So, and Lindsey, although hasn't been amazing all season, we all could chalk this up to Houston being the worst team in the league right now, or one of the worst teams. Lindsey came out with a good pass block, and he's actually getting a ton of praise for a block that basically saved to his life. If he continues to pass block well.
I wasn't even aware that the Dolphins picked him up.
Yeah, picked up a waiver last week after he got cut. They picked him up immediately. So, you know, you factor that he's already a decent pass blocker. You already factor in, you know, he's actually really not that great, but he's coming out here to win a job.
And yeah.
The best opportunity he ever has to do it is against another undrafted free agent, I guess.
Yeah.
So he made a good pass blocking and save. He's already doing better yards per average or equal to Myles Gaskin up the middle, which Gaskin do. So that scares me. It scares me a ton if I'm a Gaskin manager. Like I want to pick up Lindsey and hope that.
Still though, Davis, doesn't do it. Still, I mean, against a tough matchup like Carolina, he still ended up 8th RB finish for the week and 9th the previous week.
So yeah, but the yardage isn't there.
The yardage, you're right about the yardage. It isn't there. He hasn't had one single 100-yard game. That is true.
He's not good up the middle. And he averaged, and Lindsey had 12 rushing attempts. Sure, some of those could have came during the end of the game, but 12 for 42, that means that's put him at 3.5 yards per carry. Gaskin had 3.1. Like, and that's a guy that just got to your team. A guy that just came to your team outperformed in front of everybody. So it is a thing that does scare me a little bit. If you can trade Gaskin, I would.
If there's time.
Yes, if your league is still giving you that trade deadline this week, I would move him and get something else. Cash Allen's 2 touchdowns. You know, maybe Elijah Mitchell is up for sale. Somebody's sitting there going, oh man, you know, the 49ers always share their running back. Okay, here's Gaskin.
Elijah Mitchell.
Gaskin and a friend, you know?
All
they do is look at scores.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell will be a tough sell because you're selling high there. Yeah, I guess you are selling both high, but yeah, because...
Oh man, Elijah Mitchell's injury. Oh man, you know, the 49ers, you never know who's the lead running back from week to week. The things we hear all season.
Yeah.
I just
put in the confidence my moving on up that he seems like the guy. Maybe a lot of people don't believe that still, but I believe it now. I believe that he's.
Oh, I do too. I don't think Miles Gaskin's the guy, but I would definitely try to make a move like trading Gaskin.
No, I've never, but I am with you. I've never been a Gaskin guy, but he has produced three out of the past 4 weeks. That's not too bad. I mean, the tough matchup against Baltimore.
Your season average is the floor of like 2 yards, 3 yards. Mm. So I would say that's my panic. I think Lindsay came in too well for a guy that got picked up midweek. That's kind of scary. Mm.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. I sort of disagree, but I see where you're coming at from. At least I see where you're coming from. But anyways, let's move right along into the waiver wire of Fantasy Pros, the early Fantasy Pros waiver wire. Now, I want to qualify this that Alexander Mattison is not on the list because he's 51% owned by Yahoo probably. And so I checked on the Fantasy Pros waiver ranker platform and these guys would have, I definitely think the experts would have put Alexander Mattison as RB1 if he was on the list for some reason. See, when, you get on the Fantasy Pros ranking platform, you get a certain set of players on the waiver rankings to rank, and they didn't think to see it fit to put Alexander Mattison on. But I also checked that, I think, well, we'll do the wide receivers first this week. How's that? And the big list. And what they've got Kenny Golladay on, and he's owned by 59% in Yahoo. So I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for that. But anyways, these are the Fantasy Pros waiver wire rankings. The early picks. And right up at the top, we got Kendrick Bourne as the WR1 pick, and yeah, like Bourne, I think maybe that was what we were talking about in our pre-podcast warm-up was Kendrick Bourne, about how he's rising to the occasion. I know you like him.
I do. I like him a lot as a 49er. I love that he was, I want to say, an undrafted free agent too, or a late rounder. Very unknown player, but when I used to watch him on the Niners, I was impressed with him. Mm-hmm. He came through when he came down. Kind of reminded me of Brandon Lloyd, I want to say, a former 49er, a guy that used to just kind of be there, but was there when you really needed him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he got paid for it. He got paid for being over-reliable. Like, kind of like, which is funny. It's a full-on Patriots move, right? Like Chris Hogan, over-reliable. Those kind of guys get paid and go to the Patriots. So
yeah.
We should have saw this coming, you know, like, oh man.
I think you could say the same for Aguilar too, in a way.
You know, Aguilar is kind of the opposite. Like, Aguilar was never the over-reliable. Aguilar was more like the Panthers. There was a receiver from the Panthers that went over there. He was good for just 1 year. I want to say Brandon LaFell. I want to say Aguilar reminds you of Brandon LaFell in the sense of that he kind of goes deep, kind of hopes to get lost in the backfield and takes it for the house. Never really broke 1,000 yards. I think as a fantasy community, we should have expected something from Kendrick Bourne. Maybe not full on fantasy relevancy like he is today, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that backwards. I betted on Nelson Aguilar, Jacoby Myers.
I think Bourne right now is the better own over Myers.
Yeah. Because he gets touchdowns. He's making plays.
Yeah. And even, well, I dare I say, yeah, because he's getting touchdowns and even Aguilar's getting touchdowns. And I will say Aguilar is catching better than he used to be. Maybe he's doing the tennis ball thing like what Deontay Johnson was doing.
Yeah,
but did you see that stat about Deontay Johnson, by the way? Did you,
oh my God, that guy's wild. That guy is so good right now. Yeah, he's an every week starter. His stats are amazing.
Yeah, he's did the tennis ball things. He's had one drop compared to like what, I don't know, was it 20 like drops last season, and now he's down to like just one this year.
He's good. He's been playing so much better.
That kind of reminds me of Devontae Adams. He was like, Devontae Adams used to have drop problems early.
You're right. Also, one of the reasons I didn't like him is I didn't think he could ever be a one when he had the opportunity to be a one, and he did really poorly that year.
Mm-hmm.
It really shattered my faith in him being relevant. I kept chalking him up to the quote unquote wide receiver two for Aaron Rodgers, which they never exist. So I had Devontae Adams pegged as that person on Jordy Nelson. Luckily, he panned out to be a really good player.
Yep, did the tennis ball reps.
Yeah, you gotta get those.
Gotta get your tennis ball reps. Yeah. Who else do you like in the pros of the experts have put on the list here?
For the wide receiver section, I mean, I already talked about Russell Gage. He's at number six. But I like Sterling Shepard. And I know that you obviously said every one of the Giants is talented.
Yeah.
I like Shepard for the same reasons why we like Bohr. The same reasons I'm talking about Russell Gage. It's if they're on the field, they're getting to.
Yeah.
If he's on the field, he's relevant. Shepard at one point was like wide receiver, like six on the season because he was just getting peppered. He was making plays. They weren't great plays by any means. He wasn't making people miss going 40 yards, but he was fighting for first down, right? As a football enthusiast, I think everybody is deep down, you respect that. So Sterling Shepard's a guy I think you can target if he ever returns, right? Put him in your IR roster, put him in your depth and hope that he makes it back. Because if and when he does, you might get some of the best solid flex play out of it. Mm. Because he was good. He's better than everybody. Well, maybe not necessarily better than his competition, but the scheme is meant for him instead of his competition.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I'll go with.
Yeah, I know I'm down on the Giants. But when they are on the field and when they're playing well, when they're on the field, that is.
If it's good.
Yeah, but taking a look at one other name that kind of sticks out, and this is, I guess, they got him on here because he's coming back from injuries, is Devontae Parker of the Dolphins, and I'm just trying to look him up here on my rest of the season. Parker. I can't find Devontae Parker for some reason.
There he is.
There he is. I've got him as WR69 at the moment. I guess is he supposed to come back this week, I guess?
Allegedly. I mean, with Dolphins and injuries, I have Dolphins, for some reason, have racked up the most injury-prone team and put it together on one wide receiver roster Giant.
All right.
And it sucks because Parker does get peppered at times, but it really depends. A lot of the targets we saw him get this season was with Jacoby Brissett, not necessarily with Tua.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be wary about how much we want to play Parker. Waddle's the guy. He was my buy high target last week.
Yeah.
I think he's unbuyable now.
Yeah, he's got the shoes right now for sure.
He has too many receptions. He's gonna set the rookie record for wide receiver.
Yeah, he'll go high next year. He'll have a very robust ADP.
It's gonna be ugly. So Devontae Parker's not a guy I would say is particularly someone I'm targeting. I will say if he's on the field, it's nice. If you're playing DFS, that's cool. But I don't know if the targets are gonna be there. I think it's the Waddle
and Sicky. Yeah, and I see they got Will Fuller on there too. So
I've never seen a man be gone so long for whatever. He has like I think the injury is like a foot injury or a toe injury. Oh, it's a finger, and he just never came back.
Okay, let's just go do quick yes and no's for this. Well, we've done Kendrick Bourne. We talked about Kenny Galladay. Talked about Sterling Shepard. Talk about Devontae Parker. T.Y. Hilton, yes or no?
No. No, hell no.
No. Russell Gage, we talked about. DeSean Jackson, is a yes for me. Yes. Yep. Laviska Shenault. I'm just going to say yes because I like the player and I want him on my team. Even though I wouldn't start him, but.
Huh? If you're in a deep league, yes. If you're in a deep league, 14-man plus, he does get receptions. He's all that's really left on the team. You know, if he's averaging 5 receptions consistently, then fine. That's points.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, if he's available, I doubt he is, but yes, definitely.
Yes.
Rondale Moore is a yes for me. He should be on your team.
Rondale Moore is a no for me.
Oh, right. How come?
I think for more, I need to see Kyler throw to him. I need to see Kyler throw to him. I need to see DeAndre Hopkins on the field with him. He had one strong week, and that was it. His other past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 9 games, 10 games has been irrelevant.
Mm. Will Fuller, we just talked about, for both of us. Tre'Quan Smith is a no for me.
That's a no for me, too.
Josh Reynolds is a leaning no. Actually, even though he scored a touchdown on Thanksgiving, I'm still leaning no, but you can pick him up if you're interested. He's kind of in the spec ad sort of area for me.
He's, yeah, I could see that. He's a spec ad, but he's definitely a no for me overall. I do not feel comfortable with him because it's the Lion. Who knows what's going on? And he got cut from a team that just paid him. That needs, you know, it's the team that needed receiver help got rid of him.
That's right. You know, dumb. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, of course, a yes. The Titans are off this week, but yeah, if he's out there, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine definitely. Add, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. No, it's a no for me.
Oh, a no for Nick Westbrook.
I don't want anything to do with that team right now from the receiver perspective.
All right. Yeah, especially when both the running backs went over 100 yards. Do believe it.
That was interesting.
Finally, on their list, they've got Alan Lazard. He's a no for me.
He's a hard no for me. I think after MVS and Cobb, what does Lazard do?
Yeah, exactly. So that wraps up the wide receivers. Where should we go next, Davis?
Let's get to the boring tight ends so we can get this one quick, and then we'll move on to the more fun guys.
Quote. Okay. they have Cole Kmet at the top. I don't know about that. You know what? On this list, I put Jack Doyle, actually. I'd rush out.
Yeah, he's in there, but he's at the bottom.
Yeah, I know, but I put him at the top. They got him at TE5. I think Jack Doyle, I know it's recency, and I know you're chasing points if you're going to pick him up, but I don't know, Doyle might be back. I mean, I haven't seen anything of Mo Alie-Cox lately.
No, you're right. I actually agree with you on that. That if you, Carson Wentz likes his tight end, Doyle mm-hmm. fits the type of prospect, type of player that he wants, the possession tight end. Doyle fits that really well. Mo Alie-Cox is a big body tight end that tries to play like a big receiver without the hands.
Mm.
So I think Doyle's the guy. I think he should be ranked a little bit higher than he is right now. Mm. He should not be 5. He should be at least 2 to 3, I think.
I absolutely agree. Even 1 for waiver grab. So yeah, Jack Doyle, we both prefer him at 1. Anybody else on this very short list of 6 players that you have any interest in?
I will say I kind of like Foster Moreau if Darren Waller stays out. Tyler Coughlin, right. You know, he's been on everyone's tight end ad. I'm not going to really speak about it too much, but he's a hit and miss back and forth. But Darren Waller likes his whether it's Jared Cook, whether it's Darren Waller, whether it's the other guy that forgot his name. He starts off like he had a really whatever season, but even he had fantasy relevance. So give me Foster Moreau if Darren Waller continues to stay out.
Yeah, I don't know the... Let me just check the status of... see if I've got a status here of Darren Waller. Darren Waller says... says he'll undergo an MRI, and I haven't heard anything about him yet. That was 3 days ago.
The guy I was talking about is Michael Rivera. And Clive Walford. Both those guys were pretty okay from game to game at times from Derek Carr. His team is hurting on receivers. And Foster Moreau, chalk him up. He should already be picked up at this point with Darren Waller being as questionable as.
Oh, here's the details on the Waller injury. Darren Waller suffered a strained IT band in his knee. Sources tell Ian Rappaport, whatever is an IT band, it's probably something to do with.
Well, it's like your hamstring, I want to say.
It's in his knee.
It's pretty bad, though. It's in your knee, legs.
But it appears Waller's escaped a serious injury. His status for week 13 remains week to week.
So, chalk up some Foster Moreau.
Yeah.
If he's week to week. Sure. Game time decisions kind of situation.
Yep.
Because we've seen it. Clive Walford. We've seen Michael Rivera. We've seen Jared Cook. Darren Waller. Derek Carr's going to target these guys.
Yeah. Let's do a quick yes-no for the rest. Cole Kmet is leaning no for me.
He's a yes for me. I love Andy Dalton. I like for this offense.
Right. Tyler Conklin is a yes for me.
He is a no for me. Matchup. He's matchup-based.
Also touchdown-dependent, but he's a yes for me for based on that. Evan Engram is leaning yes.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you're just desperate because there's nothing else on the field.
And we talked about Foster Moreau and Dr. Well, we're down to CJ Uzomah. a mild yes for me.
He's a no for me. The receptions and yardage aren't there. He's basically, you're hoping he catches a 3-yard pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he lives for at the point. He has no fantasy relevancy in the last, I want to say, 4 weeks. Yeah, last 4 weeks. He's a hard no. A leaning no. I like him, though. I like him as a player. I like what he does for the Bengals. No.
Right. Okay, we'll save the best for last. So we'll go to the quarterbacks first. And we only have five on the list here. Basically, we could just basically talk about them really quickly. Tua Tagovailoa.
That's a yeah.
He's definitely a yeah. And you know, he might be, you know, I was kind of concerned about him earlier in the season, but he's come back well. And, you know, you mentioned Jacoby Brissett and Devontae Parker there and stuff like that. But Tua is definitely in command of that offense now. And really, and making a statement with the Dolphins. The Dolphins, big win against the Panthers. And it was just a really, really good performance there by Tua. Really in command. If he's out there, yeah, I tend to agree about him. Grab him, so pick him up.
For me with Tua, his passing attempts have gone above the 30s. He has high completion rates. So we all know that your completion rates can go anywhere. But we know for the Dolphins that they like to play safe. So anything they do is going to be a high completion target, right? Like a high chance of a target, a high chance of a completion per target. Mm-hmm. If Tua doesn't have Myles Gaskin to do the rushing touchdown, there's also a chance Myles Gaskin, who does most of his work as a receiving back, gets a receiving touchdown. You can add a 3 touchdown. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying to pick him up and start him right off the bat, but if you're just desperate and you're having a quarterback that's middle of the pack and they're facing the Patriots, yeah, I would start Tua over that quarter. And I think that's where Tua fits for me. What do you think?
He's still kind of in the QB2 conversation, but he's growing.
Yeah, bottom end.
He is growing. There's good growth going on there. So yeah, that's kind of where I stand on that. Really,
I think that's fair. Like I said, I would. He's a streamer at best.
Yeah.
If you have your guys facing the Patriots and it's not someone special like, you know, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, I think you could play like if you had Big Ben or Tua and Big Ben was facing the Patriots, would you start Big Ben? You see what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm like, I think I'd rather start Tua against.
Yeah, I would. I'd rather. I like the mobility. Ben has no mobility. I don't like quarterbacks who have no mobility.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that just can't.
That's what's hurting Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan is just, you can see the mobility even on him with him. But I don't know, Ben comes out though, he bumbles along and he tries to do some mobility things to prove us wrong, but you know, it's just not there.
Let's say, how about someone more fancy relevant? Let's say Derek Carr or Tua against Washington. Who would you rather start?
Tua. Oh, well.
Yeah,
Tua.
That's the point I'm getting. That's exactly where he is. Like, Derek Carr has been really good for fantasy.
Yeah, you're right. There's matchup. There's, you're kind of giving me examples with matchups, and I think that's where it is he's matchup based. Yes.
He's very matchup based. So he's not a hard pickup, but if you're desperate, there's a lot of bad QB play this season.
Let's move on to, I disagree with I think Mac Jones should be ahead of Tyler Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke is a young Joe Flacco.
Please no. I think Mac Jones is better than that.
Taylor Heinicke, he's okay in a 2 quarterback league or Superflex maybe, but, you know, but you're not having him. You don't stream. I'm not streaming Taylor Heinicke. He's playing tonight against the Seahawks.
I would rather start Taylor Heinicke because I don't believe the Patriots play the safest football possible.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, low amount of completions or like, you know, kind of short passes. A lot of rushing touchdowns, which kills all of Mac Jones' upside. Mac Jones only had 1 3 TD game this entire season, as well as he's been playing.
And he's had only 1 300 yard game as well.
He only had two. Yeah, two.
Oh, he's had two. Okay.
Yeah, he just got one with the Titans. But
I stand corrected.
So no, but yeah, you're not wrong. I actually thought he only had one. He just got the second one with the Titans. And Heinicke will play from behind, and I think that's where the upside is. You know, this guy that can kind of run the ball for 40 yards, throw the ball for 350, throws, you know, 2 picks, but because he had all these other yardage and 2 touchdowns, he'll do better than Mac. Mac Jones is averaging mostly 1 or 2 touchdowns a game, and it's not just 2; it's 1 or 2. So I can see why they ranked Heinicke over. Just that team's gonna play from behind. You know, it's not efficient football like it is with the Patriots.
Well, I can see why they put him ahead, but I'd rather have Mac Jones and Taylor Heinicke.
In real life all day, for sure.
Speaking of more Jones, we talked about Daniel Jones, his QB4. He's a no for me.
He's a hard no. I at this point don't even start a quarterback and just assert dominance.
Yeah.
at that point, play Andy Dalton, play Jared Goff, somebody else. Daniels has been so bad. He's utterly bad. And he fumbles the ball. The other guys don't even fumble balls, at least. So, like, you don't have a chance to go negative.
Well, the last guy does.
The next guy.
Justin Fields, he's a no for me. I wish I could say yes, because I think he has a lot of potential. But I don't think it's, you know, we talk about Nagy and his system and Nagy. I don't think this is all on Nagy. I just don't think Justin Fields is really all that good.
He's not. I'm even surprised he's on this list.
Yeah, I am too. I don't
know why Fantasy Pros has these last two guys on the list.
I don't know why either. You're right. You know, and that's why we criticize him. That's why we go through there.
I honestly would have PJ Walker ahead of these last two guys.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not even being sarcastic here. This is a real thing. I'd rather have PJ Walker. I'd rather have Jared Goff. I'd rather have Andy Dalton. If Geno Smith came back, I would rather have Geno Smith, right? Or if Marcus Mariota started over Derek Carr, I would have Marcus Mariota. These last two guys are not dynasty. Right now, Justin Fields has thrown more hits. And not even by one. He's thrown it by double.
Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence?
I would. I would rather have Trevor Lawrence over both these guys.
What about Trevor Siemian?
I would rather have Trevor Siemian.
Really? Wow.
If you look at Trevor Siemian's numbers, in real life, it's a different story. Well, actually, no. Against Daniel Jones, yes, in real life. Against Justin Fields, not yet, too early. But here's the thing. Trevor Siemian, all the games he's played, it's been one touchdown, two touchdowns, three touchdowns, one touchdown. The yardage is middle of the pack. It's 160 to 250, maybe 1300. But his INTs are only three. He only has three INTs. He has less INTs than Justin Fields by double the amount. I didn't remember even look at Daniel Jones' fumbles.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Trevor Siemian's playing efficient football. So even if it's junk numbers, I at least don't have to worry about going. You know, like, I would rather play Trevor Siemian over Daniel Justin Fields right now in fantasy. The scheme that Sean Payton has is working for him.
Yeah. Well, we could go on all day about who would we rather have on quarterbacks, but we've got to move on to the running backs now. The good stuff. The good stuff. Yeah. And, again, people, I will physically put Alexander Mattison in the list because Fantasy Pros didn't obviously have it in their rankings. And I'm sure these guys would have put him in there. But anyways, they've got Jamal Williams at number one pickup for running back. How do you feel about that?
That makes sense. He's serviceable. He's talented overall. And DeAndre Swift is out. I mean, this guy's gonna have the job to himself and then some.
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually kind of like the sneakier, Alexander Mattison is kind of the loud pickup this week, but don't forget about Jamal Williams and Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. I think DeAndre Swift.
I know what you mean. You're not wrong.
And
he's probably the guy.
Yeah. But it is true. I mean, you can't. I mean, the thing is the Alexander Mattison. He's all the talk right now. But you can sneak in there and get to Jamal Williams without. Well, I mean, at this point, you're kind of spending all your fab at this point. I think you're emptying your fab. I think you can empty your. Would you empty your fab for Jamal Williams? Would you?
At this point, yes. You're so far into end of the season, you don't have a choice.
Yeah. And he plays well. You know, he always plays hard, doesn't he?
He does. He plays. He's actually a good football player, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe not. He doesn't show up on. He kind of reminds me of like the Dante Hightower of running backs, where he kind of does everything well, but because he's kind of played behind people or, you know, wasn't really like flashy. People forget that he exists. Like, yeah. Dante Hightower is a guy that's one of the best middle linebackers in the league, but because his numbers aren't amazing, because he doesn't, the scheme doesn't mean for him to have good numbers. He's like in basketball. He's the guy that does the box out, not actually getting the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Williams is that guy. He's a great pass blocker, a decent pass catcher, a decent runner up the middle, but just because he's decent in all categories and he's not flashy about it, no major plays, you know, no Marshawn Lynch type of stuff. Mm-hmm. People forget he exists. And it's kind of a shame because he is good.
Well, people forget he just, first of all, he's on the Lions, which doesn't help.
Even when I found that he was a Green Bay Packer, you know?
Yeah. And that's something else I'd like to get into, too, before we close out the show, too, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Packers backfield when we close out the show. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Meantime, the rest of this list, let's just do a yes and no for the rest of this list. There's only nine. Boston Scott, definitely a yes for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Dontrell Hilliard scored a touchdown. He was, he and Don't Foreman got over 100 yards, but Dontrell Hilliard got the big run and the touchdown, which...
That's a yes for me.
Yeah.
I think your running backs are so bad at this point. And, you know, we joked about this 2 weeks ago when I was on the show. When are we going to find a running back? This week, we actually have a lot of opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
So Hilliard might be the guy. And I say might. Am I actively wanting to grab him? No, my teams are safe. But my teams that aren't? Yes, that's a yes.
Matt Breda?
Yes.
Yeah, yes for me, too. Clearly, a healthy scratch for Zach Moss really tells you everything about that.
Yeah.
Tevin Coleman is a no.
No.
No, Tony Jones is a no.
Dang, he's a no.
Rex Burkhead is a no.
I agree. David Johnson looked a little bit better this week.
I know Philip Lindsay is a yes for you. And I like the upside. I'll say yes too.
He's not necessarily a yes for me, because in the sense of the Dolphins really don't run the ball well. But I think he hurts the player. And I'm kind of in the sense of like a crappier version of Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, where they're both barely fantasy relevant at times. I feel like both these guys are going to be non-fantasy.
All right. Now
kind of reminds me of like another Zach Moss, Singletary kind of situation. So we'll see how that plays out. He's not necessarily a must add, but he's more of a just be on the lookout. The others are much. I think the first five guys you choose, the first four guys are must add.
Now they've got a guy I've never even heard of, and he plays for the Jets, and that's Austin Walter. Who's number nine.
I've heard of the name just because he scored. I think he scored yesterday.
Really? Yeah.
I think he did. Or he out-touched Ty Johnson. He out-touched him. Yeah, he did. He scored nine, yesterday, and he had like
nine carries, 38 yards.
I think he had some pass catching too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, one target. But
he basically usurped Ty Johnson with Tevin Coleman. They both end up getting most of the workload. So that's why he's on this list. And I was a little surprised because I had Ty Johnson in like one or two guys, two DFS camps. I was like, why is he getting the target? And I found out this was because Austin Walter.
But, just based on that, I'm just going to say no.
That's a no. I don't like the running game in the Jets. I don't like the Jets.
No.
Right now. No. It's dead. This is dead in the water. This team is.
Okay, Davis, we've picked up all these players. We've got to drop somebody in order to pick up somebody. So
I cheesed in mine a little bit. And because mine's not really a consideration, like as good as yours. But Cam Newton, I know somebody picked him up. I heard a lot of people saying that he was going to be fantasy relevant. Please don't do this to yourself. Stop playing Cam Newton. Stop drafting him. Stop picking him up in the middle of the season. Stop trading for him. This is not it. This is not 16, 17 again.
You're right.
Stop. Be done with
it. Is this a rage drop?
Yeah, it should be. Because, you know, you want to know what Cam Newton's roster rate in Yahoo was? 67%. For a guy that missed the entire season nearly, he was rostered at 67%.
What's he at now?
Yeah. He's still at 67. He's got to be.
Is he? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm going on this rant because too many people, and the guys I help in my leagues, every night I help them other time, messaging me the last 2 weeks. I think we should add Cam Newton and not start Joe Burrow. We need to add Cam Newton and start Taylor Heinicke. And I kept saying, stop it. You're going to fall for this Cam trap. I get it. He looked really cute last week with his yardage and rushing explosiveness. You're going to fall for it. He threw less than 200 yards. Not a good thrower rate.
Mm.
Like, it's not there. And look what happened.
Yeah, he look what happened. It was a short honeymoon.
It's not the guy. He's not your guy. He did this the same thing the year prior when he was on the Patriots, where he looked really good for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he showed you he was Cam Newton.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that was the one thing that Bill Belichick did right away in order to clear the road for Mac Jones was, we got to get this guy out of the locker room.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So just move on from Cam Newton.
Yeah. Get him out of your locker room.
Yeah. Stop it. Stop it across the board. No more.
And a guy who's a little bit more likable, and you feel kind of sad, but
a little bit more likable.
I'm afraid you have to drop T.Y. Hilton. Pittman wears the shoes on the Colts. It's pretty clear. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's kind of, the veteran guy, the old veteran on the team. He's in his 30s. Yes, he caught a touchdown, but you're moving on from T.Y. Hilton.
I mean, another way to look at it too is Pittman had 10 targets last week against Tampa. I mean, they lost because they only caught 4 of them, but he still had 10, and he's not injured every other week. Mm-hmm. You gotta let T.Y. Hilton go. I love T.Y. Hilton. Love him to death, you know. He was even a yards leader, a reception leader at one point in time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely a big fantasy relevant player. A must own at one time. That's, I guess you could say that about Cam Newton too. Was a must own back in the day. Like you say, back in 2017, you know.
We gotta let him go though. He's 32, turning 33. He just turned 32. Mm-hmm. Injury prone, neck injuries, all sorts of things. We have to let him go.
Yeah.
Just let him go.
I'd rather stream I'd rather spot start a guy like Zach Pascal.
Yeah. 100% agree. Jack Doyle.
Yeah.
I'd rather play Jack Doyle at tight end, I think. Yep. Two flexes.
Yeah.
On my flex, I played Jack Doyle. Mm-hmm. Hope for the best.
My spec ad is Kenneth Gainwell. I think you should get him back on your roster just in case he starts getting more usage again. His usage dropped right off after the first injury to Miles Sanders. I don't know how Miles Sanders is feeling this weekend, and I think that's kind of the reason I put Kenneth Gainwell back in the conversation, the fantasy conversation. Again, this is a spec ad. This is if you have room, if you've got somebody who's droppable and you didn't get Alexander Mattison or Jamal Williams or anybody else, you can pick up, Kenneth Gainwell and hope that he gets something. So he's my spec ad.
I think that's a good one. I mean, injuries have been apparent. No team is safe from it. Mm-hmm. If I follow Canadian football, I'm pretty sure half their roster again. So yeah, I think that's a good ad. Yeah. You really have nothing to lose at this
point. Yeah, especially like the running backs are at a premium at the moment, and Kenneth Gainwell, you're not doing anything bad by stashing. Who are you stashing? Just in case.
Originally, I was going to talk a little bit about Ryan Griffin, but I kind of pivoted. I'm going to go with DJ Dallas. The game hasn't started yet today for us, so we don't know if he's going to perform. But as of right now, I am pretty much disgusted from what I've seen from Alex Collins. So,
right.
DJ Dallas, I agree. He was drafted in the fourth round last season, so he's not a completely dead pick ad. They need something. They need to stop using these old veterans. They need to stop doing what the Seahawks have been doing that's causing them to lose the last 4 years. Sure, I get it. They made the playoffs. So. But did they look good doing it in the run game? And the answer is no. They have not looked good running the ball. For a while, Chris Carson gets injured every year. Alex Collins likes to dance behind the line of scrimmage for some reason. I think DJ Dallas is the guy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that he becomes the person. He's a outside ad. He's not getting talked about enough.
Yeah.
He might be relevant.
Well, with Travis Homer and Rashad Penny out there, there's really, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer in a sense because, you know, with those guys out, so, yeah. Pick them up now. Well, actually, you can't say now because this podcast isn't going to be heard until after the game. But he'll be, he'll probably, you think he'll have a big game?
You know, the funny thing about the Washington football team is that their defense doesn't stop the things they think we need to stop. They don't really stop the run, nor they really stop the pass. So I wouldn't be surprised if DJ Dallas does get his 10 to 15 carries, that it isn't terrible. The way he runs the ball is a little bit different, speedy. It's not the consistent run up the middle power backs that the Seattle used to run with. Mm-hmm. So a 5'10", short guy. So I'm hoping he gets it. I think he can. He looked pretty good last week. So we'll see what he does this week.
Especially if he catches some passes too. The passing, RBs catching passes, we like seeing that, don't we?
I don't even know if Russell Wilson ever throws to his running backs anymore.
I really wonder about that.
I don't think he even does.
That's another thing too. Do you know what? The last time, Washington and, the Seahawks played in 2014 on a Monday night, and Russell Wilson rushed for 122 yards. Just doesn't do that stuff anymore, does he?
Funny enough, he made my overrated quarterbacks during the season because he did a good amount of rushing last season that was out of character. I think he had his best rushing of all time last season. It was his best total lines from scrimmage. It was his best yardage scrimmage was last season. And we saw how he finished at the end of it. It wasn't good.
No. So
I love Russ to death. I think he should end up on another team.
But I think he'll go to the Packers.
I don't think he's going to run 100 yards. I actually joked about when Aaron Rodgers leaves, Russ should just go there with somebody else. Yeah, I would be 100% behind you.
For one reason, he's a Badger too. They'd love him there.
Oh, because I didn't think about that.
And I think they'd like him in Seattle. They'd like Rodgers in Seattle. You can imagine Rodgers with Lockett and Metcalf.
That would be.
That would be.
Oh. to put in perspective, for Russell, he had his best total yardage from scrimmage last season with 47-42. He's not even close to that this season.
No. So, well, he had an unusual break with injury. I think that's what people like about him is Russell never gets injured except for this year.
Yeah.
Missed two or three games.
Touchdowns. He wasn't even remotely close to pacing at that year this year. Not even close, even with the extra game. Mm. Really hard to beat.
We've reached the end of the show. Now, I wanted to talk about getting back to the Packers here. I wanted to talk about, because we were talking about Jamal Williams, and I wanted to get back to talking about the backfield and the future of the Packers backfield with A.J. Dillon. Looks like right now AJ Dillon kind of looks like the bell cow to me. He's really good. I mean, he's got the size. Well, he's bigger, but I'm not saying that Aaron Jones doesn't have power. He really does. But I'm not as sold on him right now as I am with AJ Dillon. AJ Dillon's really impressing me right now.
I agree and I don't agree. I think so. AJ Dillon as a power back, amazing. AJ Dillon as a change of pace, amazing. This really reminds me of, you remember when DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry were on the same team together?
Yep.
I think Aaron Jones is going to be DeMarco Murray. AJ Dillon's going to be Derrick Henry. Now,
yes.
To be fair,
that's a good comparison there.
I have a weird mind for these things, right? Apparently, I would say that they're lesser versions, right? AJ Dillon's obviously a lesser Derrick Henry. Aaron Jones equal to or greater than DeMarco Murray on the Titans. Maybe not prime DeMarco Murray, but Titans DeMarco. He was amazing, by the way. I think that kind of role, right, going to the outside, pass catch, is going to fit more to Jones. Now, Dillon did get 11 receptions in these last two games. So that, and Derrick Henry at times can catch a flat screen. So it's very weird what we see going on, but I don't know if Dillon takes the job head on. If they're in the, by then, who cares? Because fantasy season's over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Dillon's someone you should not be giving up on. You should not be trying to trade away because quote unquote Aaron Jones is, like I said, this really reminds me of DeMarco Murray, Derrick
Henry. Yeah, I think that's a very close comparison to me. I really think what happened in that game is that they really needed, because it was the Rams, they really needed Aaron Jones in there, but I think I get the sense that, I mean, he had a very poor fantasy day against the Rams. I think there was a snap count on him.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Jones, yeah.
Definitely. And I think, I really feel bad for anybody, because I know that Joe Bond, our fearless leader, he was all smiles that Aaron Jones was starting, but I kind of had a little bit of reservations. I kind of thought,
I think he asked us, and I said, I'm not starting him. I'm like, no way. I'd rather start somebody else.
Mm.
That's a no-go. It's no-go, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think it's, unfortunately, Aaron Jones, definitely, he was definitely on a snap count in that game.
11 total touches, if you count the target he didn't get.
Yeah.
It is definitely a count.
Yeah.
He might get more usage in the receiving game, but I mean, are you going to run this running back who's known to be injured up the middle in the goal line? And the answer is no. You're running AJ Dillon.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that, you know, Aaron Jones won't see goal line touches because he could always run it to the outside. He could always catch a pass, but he's losing a piece of his work because his body can't hold up, which sucks, by the way. This is not me hating on Aaron Jones.
Oh, no.
He won me multiple championships in one season.
Is he on the Packers next year?
I think he is.
Okay.
They already paid him. They just paid him. So the guaranteed money's there. And there's not many teams that are willing to take, I don't think, are willing to take him.
Yeah.
The only team I could see taking Aaron Jones, and this is just because I know my team, is the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
They were trying to get him last year. I could see them trying to get him. Yeah, they just love veteran running backs for some reason. They're trying to catch another Ricky Williams lightning in a bottle situation.
Mm-hmm.
They can't give him up because they already paid him a guaranteed contract for at least three more years. I want to say at least two more years. I could be wrong, but I know for one more. There's no way they gave him guaranteed. He might be a Packer this year, and then before he gets traded. That's it. I think that's the only option. They can't cut him. This is the same debacle Melvin Gordon was a part of. You can't cut a guy that's gonna take $6 to $8 million out of your cap.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I think that's where Aaron Jones, they just paid him.
Okay, and that's the end of the show. And Davis, now you do the trade thing, so that's all over now. So your articles are finished this year.
Yes, they're finished for the year. I did not get one last one this week, just due to the fact that we trade are basically done for most of the sports leagues. So, but I'll be back for best ball. So if you want to see me doing a best ball, I am currently, to update our listeners or website visitors, I'm at a 20% cover rate right now on best ball. Anything above 10 is generally pretty considered good. So I will be making two semis and, well, at least a round two of semi-plus season.
Okay. At
20-something, 25% rate.
All right.
So catch my articles there when they come back up and during this off-season.
All right. And be sure to check my rest of season. That comes out on Thursday. And, of course, the weekend blurb view, where I do a bunch of blurbs of the games of the week. With I just chock it full of info for everything as much as I can. So we'll see you next week on the Fantasy Edge. Take care.